It is the show that you have been waiting for. I'm talking about this one in particular. It is with Jim Scarcelli here on this Wednesday. You're always looking forward to this particular pod, and specifically when Jim Scarcelli comes on, the former Wolverine. But you know, last week or so, Scar went down to Ann Arbor and saw Michigan going through the paces in practice a little bit, and he made a good decision. He didn't tell us every single thing that was going on. He broke it up. Yeah, offense last week, and so now naturally we had to wait, which was really tough. But today's defense, Scar, which is going to be exciting. How you doing?
Yeah, Danny, life is good. I'm still fired up, man. Still fired up from what I saw at practice. I saw great coaches. I saw great players. I saw competition, depth. I saw enthusiasm. So, yeah, fired up. And we'll get into the side of the ball that wins championships.
Scar, a former defensive end at Michigan, if you had no idea about that, you could tell right there. So we'll get Scar's thoughts on the defensive side of things. We'll also touch here on basketball briefly. And last week, Scar, as I just mentioned, had gone down to practice. And here's Michigan's new strength and conditioning coach, Justin Tress. Scar took a picture with him. And then, Scar, you went down to the LCA to watch the NCAA tournament, and you ran into a Hall of Famer.
It's no secret we like to play our poker every now and then. So I just happened to be down there. I guess it was Saturday, and just going to the bathroom, and I see Purdue people everywhere, proud Purdue Boilers everywhere, all downtown. Coach is standing right there in front of me. I say, "Coach, go Boilers, man!" He sees I got my Michigan thing on. He says, "Michigan, yeah." So I start right away. We just start BSing. I told him, I played for Bo, and he's like, "Oh, I knew Bo, man. That was Knight's buddy. That was Knight's buddy." And he was asking me about. He was a former high school teacher, and so we were going on and on, man. He was fired up. He had his some people with him. I'm not the kind of guy to go asking to take a picture. Okay, I don't do that.
Yeah.
His son-in-law was with him. He said, "Hey, you want to take a picture with Coach?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead." So I said, "Let me send it to you." But, I could see where Coach could recruit, just from my little handshake and a little short interaction with him. I think he played with the Steelers back in the day. That's what I was told.
Mm.
But anyway, personal guy, 87 years old or so, and firm handshake. And fired up for the Boilers, and just a real approachable, nice guy.
Well, it was one of the highlights. There's basketball that you could talk about on the floor, and then there's great storylines, out of the basketball about, the players and the teams. And Katie, who was a magnificent coach for a long time before Matt Painter, never went to the Final Four. It was 1980 was, I believe, the last time that Purdue had gone to the Final Four. But he had a lot of teams, like number one seed. He had Big Dog Glenn Robinson 1 year, and a lot of people thought, myself included, that they had the goods there to cut down the nets. But then old Zach Edey, 7'5", he didn't need a ladder. He just walked up to the net and cut some of it down, and he handed it, a piece of the net, over to Gene Cady, which is what a lot of people thought one of the great moments of the NCAA tournament. And you can see he's wearing the same outfit that when you talked with him there, Scar, same day.
For Zach Edey to do that, you know what that says? That says that Matt Painter is educating the players about the history and tradition of Purdue basketball. Okay. Schembechler talked about the former coaches, the former players all the time. He was educating us about the history of Michigan all the time and why we should be proud of Michigan. So for Zach Edey to do that, that wasn't just, I don't think he probably wasn't told to do it. He heard Painter all the time at practice, talking about his mentor. And so that was a great gesture. I didn't know that. But, yeah, that's that tradition that's passed down. So I talk to my players about the same thing, former players and former coaches, you're part of something special.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you could talk about Michigan going to the national championship with some of the former so many of the former players going there and reliving it and, you know, and feeling like, you know, they were part of it and everything else. And they were, you know, you could, whether it was yourself or anybody, you know, you heard those great stories. And so that reminded me. And, you know, just the basketball tournament overall, every single year, it never fails to come up with, it's always a masterpiece. If there's never been one year where I went to the end and thought, yeah, you know what? I really didn't like this year's tournament. Every year it's great. And this year was no exception. I do want to credit one person on Monday, and I forget exactly who it was. I'm guessing it's OT. I can go back like you can with any show and rewatch. But at one point on Monday, somebody said, hey, who do you got, LSU or Iowa? And they were talking about the women's tournament. And I hadn't paid attention at all to women's basketball this year. Now I know who Caitlin Clark, and I knew of some of the players on LSU in some of the story, but I really hadn't spent one second watching it. And so I said that, and it wasn't anything against the women. People seem to be really enjoying it and everything else, but I've watched so much stuff already. I was just like, I'm not going to BS anybody. I'm not watching one second of it. Well, it turned out Monday that there it was, and I did watch one second of it, and then I watched a minute of it, and it was great. I had to say it was as entertaining of an hour or so that I watched of anything that I watched in the NCAA tournament or any of the basketball. It was one of the – it was really, you know, solid entertainment. So thanks to whoever.
No, I've been watching a lot of girls' basketball. It's great what's happening with the women's sports. And I actually bet on LSU, Danny. I watched LSU play a few times this year. I saw them against South Carolina. I watched Iowa a few times. Someone would have told me 30 years ago I'd be watching girls' hoops. It hit me over the head. But it's entertaining. It's competitive. And I bet on LSU. I thought they would be more – their athleticism would really defend and keep Iowa from getting shots off. But anyway, it was yeah. Good. It's good for women's sports. We got to get Michigan's basketball program rolling. But a lot of good things with our men's. It looks like he might be zeroing in on that Oklahoma State coach, guy that can coach and recruit. And he recruited Cade Cunningham. So good things happening there.
Right. And his top player, John L. Davis, talking about Dusty May down at FAU just late last night, entered the transfer portal. So Michigan can put together their pitch or whatever they're going to put together for Davis, one of the top targets in all of college basketball, considering his ties with May. There might be – May might get good news in April. We'll see about all of that, but some good stuff on that side. All right, let's talk – defense. So, Scar, you talk, and for people that, like I mentioned, you can always go back to the other show. If you're watching this right now and you're watching it live, it's happening right now where we're going over and talking about the defense. But you should always know that if you're listening, like, I don't want to listen to these guys talk about Gene Katie and women's, but you can always just go ahead and skip ahead. You know, that's the beauty of podcasts. Plus, I put down in the description after every show what we're talking about in each segment. So you should never go through, but you should probably just listen to the whole thing. Great content for you. But if you're ever thinking, you know, I just want to get to the defense, well, then you just find out.
Jenny, listen, I just want to comment on a couple comments that I saw last week after our show.
Okay.
Somebody commented that, well, because guys didn't play as freshmen, we must not have many potential first round picks. I'm not sure exactly how the statement was, but just because a team doesn't have a lot of guys playing that are freshmen, that doesn't mean they don't have real good players coming up the ranks. Okay. In general, when Michigan has their program up and running, like we want to have it, freshmen aren't going to play much at all. Okay. Cause there's so much competition. So, you know, I remember, again, I've said this guy many times, Rich Stringer. He didn't start till his fifth year. Okay, he was a second-round draft choice by the Lions. Great player, played behind Maransky, Bubba Parris, Kurt Beck, you know, great guys back in the day. Okay, so if a young guy doesn't play behind Zach Zinner or, you know, some of the great offensive linemen, it doesn't mean they're not good players. So I'm really fired up about Crippen and Geo. and Percy looked better. So don't confuse the fact that a guy doesn't play as a freshman or a program doesn't have many freshmen playing that we don't have a bunch of first, second round draft picks on that offensive line. So I just want to make that statement. I just had to cover it because we got some damn good players there. All right.
You know what I wonder, Scarby? Now, wait a second. I want to go in. Sometimes, not every time, because there can be a guy like Mason Graham that just goes in there as a freshman. You don't expect him to, even when there's talent in front of him, and makes the move, and he ends up starting even before the first game, which is, you know, pretty much unheard of, but great. I wonder if Colston Loveland, last year, if, you know, there wasn't the need for him and there wasn't an injury, or, you know, how much time he would have, as a true freshman, you know, been able to get in there and how much he would have played. I do wonder that. I don't know.
Yeah, so, Denny, I think those are the two things. There's three factors, I think, on why guys play as a freshman. One, you're really, really good.
Yeah.
Two, the coaches made mistakes in recruiting. Or three, there's some injuries that the coaches didn't expect.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a combination of all that, I think, for a freshman to play early. My roommate played as a freshman. And he was good, but a couple guys got banged up, you know, issues, whatever. But we got players over there. Michigan's got some players. Danny, I'm going to start with the edge. We know Stewart and Moore can play. They look great. They look good. Okay, those are the two alpha dogs with the edge position. The question is, with all these groups, who's going to be the third, fourth, and fifth edge player? Okay, TJ Guy is making the step. He looked athletic. He looks tough. He's a 250-pound kid. You know, he's a guy that's been around. He's had a few reps. He's going to be one of the lead dogs for that third edge position. I'll tell you a couple of young guys that are just big athletic dudes. They move Ishmael from linebacker. Not sure his first name. But Ishmael is a big athletic kid. First time playing on the edge. Kumba is a big, good-looking kid. Rough. You know, they look like they could be Braden McGregor-type kids. Eno Etta, though, Denny, is a guy that, he looks like a McGregor. He's a bigger than a Harrell-type kid. He's a kid that has improved. You know, then you got Bennett. But Denny, here's the thing that coaches have to make. Bennett, you know, is a guy that's been around. You've got guys that have been around. And then you're going to have to decide who you want to be your third and fourth guy. Do you want it to be a fourth-year guy who's going to be graduated, who's playing the same as a kid like Etta, who's only a sophomore, and give the reps to a guy that's going to, you know, help you more in the future? So Etta is a kid. If I had – just looking at him off the hoof, I think Eno Etta and TJ Guy could be leading – in my opinion, just looking at watching them as the third and fourth guys. But again, I was at one little scrimmage. We'll take another look at the spring game. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of young, raw guys there, athletic, big dudes. So that's what I saw there. Any thoughts there,
well,
Denny?
Yeah, well, you mentioned Ishmael. Breon Ishmael, 6'3", 262 last year. He's out of Hamilton, Ohio. You mentioned him on the edge.
He was recruited as a linebacker, and I think they just moved him over there.
And then you mentioned Emerick Akumba. He is he came in on last year's football roster at 6'5", 254. He's the kid from France. So
he is an impressive-looking kid. You know, he looked like, Derek Moore. Him and Etta, those are just big, good-looking dudes, man. You know, you got to get their technique coached up. Make some plays. Let's see how they do in the spring game. And, you know,
I got to tell you, yeah, the more thoughts, every time that somebody, every time that you watch Michigan Live, in last year, I don't remember what game it was, but Etta had come in, you know, late in the game, and you're like, who is number 96? You know, you're 96. You mentioned Eno Etta every single time. Like, oh, hey, this guy looks pretty good. He's put the A, he looks pretty good. You know, so that has been something that's been consistent of every time that, you've been out of practice or that you've seen
it. Listen, you coach long enough.
You see it.
You can tie the kid up in a couple snaps, and I see athleticism. I see toughness. And what I saw now is he found the training table. He's a bigger kid. So there's some good-looking kids there. We'll see who comes out as the – in no way, shape, or form are we worried about the starters. It's who's going to be 3, 4, and 5. Who's going to be the starters in 25? Because, that's what I'm looking at there. Linebacker, the Barham kid is a flat-out stud. He's a tall kid, man. He's 6'3", mean, tough kid. And Hausman, we got two good ones. It's interesting. Bennett or Michael Barrett played, he had his strengths in coverage at times. These guys are both bigger guys. So, there's advantages for having two big guys, and so just something to think about that, we use Barrett a lot more in coverage at times. But I believe Barham and Hausman, there's no secret there. And then it's just a question of who's going to be 3, 4, and 5. It's the same kind of thing, same kind of question. You got the Hood kid looks good. Roller looks good. Those guys are all ready to compete now. The Pollard kid.
Micah Pollard, yeah.
Yeah. All those guys are working in, getting reps. And Bridgman is a young kid. Here's another kid that was highly recruited, looked good in there. Moore. 44, look, there's a lot of competition at that position. There is a lot of competition to figure out who's going to be 3, 4, and 5. And, the sad thing is they're going to find out at the end of spring, and some of those guys might be packing their bags. If you're an older guy and the coaches – I tell you, a kid who's really looks good on the hoof just watching him do drills is Beasley. That is an athletic kid that we got from Belleville.
Yeah.
Denny, we've recruited well at that position. I feel real good about it. Who's going to come out? They all look – a lot of guys look good on the hoof. Again, coaches got to decide. Do I go with the older guy like Pollard or do I go with a younger guy? And then, if they're playing the same, those are decisions coaches make.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm done with that. Anything else?
Let me give you some thoughts. If Jimmy Roller, as a true freshman, was out there and was playing significant snaps, and then it was he was conspicuous by his absence last year, but he was working through whatever the injury was, and then late in the year when he was back to full speed, he was in there and was playing. So I would always think that that Roller is going to be in the mix since he has been in here. He has been in the mix early and often, and injury is the only thing that's kept him out. Jaden Hood's the interesting guy because last year in the spring and summer, he had really made a move, and they were talking about him a lot. And then Harbaugh was talking about him a lot. And then he was going out to the news conferences, and he is the easiest guy in the world to root for. I'm talking about Jaden Hood. He is if you would say who I know they have this, like who's the Michigan man, and I think they even give a sticker, about the enthusiasm and everything else, but you want someone that you want to root for that you don't necessarily the Hood's the one. This guy all the way through, listen to him talk for 5 minutes and you'll come away impressed and want him to.
I'm sure a lot of them are nice guys. Maybe they hand.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about all nice guys and everything else. But Hood, as a spokesperson, and then his story. I think his mother's a preacher.
Okay. And I want a linebacker that's going to stop. I want a linebacker that's going to stop that guy on the goal line. He's going to take that running back and drill him and keep him and stop him. Sure. I want a linebacker that's going to drop in the right zone, cover the right. I'm just playing with you, Denny.
No, I get you on that. I get you on that because I think Barham is getting a lot of accolades coming over from Maryland from what people saw from him. And then, you're mentioning what, he looks like, and we have seen enough. I would also put Hausman in the category of somebody to root for that way. When you listen to him, between Hood and Hausman, you take those guys out and you just say, if they're not going to be football players, these guys could be great coaches, head coaches, for the way they – the way they connect with people when they talk. Yeah, so something about
Denny, we've recruited my analysis of the linebacker position. We've recruited really, really well there. Good looking players, and there's competition, and there's going to be some hurt feelings because you can't play them. And our linebackers played really, really well this past year because we did rotate three guys in there. We had a good solid rotation with you know, with Barrett Jr. and Hausman. So it kept the other guys fresh. So linebacker was strong. D-line, we know Grant can play. We know Graham can play. And we know Benny can play. I think all three of those guys are good enough. We've already proved it. They're good enough to beat Ohio State, good enough to beat Washington, good enough to beat Alabama. The question is, who's the fourth, fifth, sixth guy? Okay. And the two guys I think for sure are going to be in that mix is Brandt and Pierce. And then there's a lot of other guys that are just kind of battling. But I think those are two names that are two guys I saw that really look physical and getting after it, playing low, playing smart. So Pierce, I think he's 75, and Brandt. Those are the two young guys that I'm looking to work in to the rotation. Now I was just there for a minute. We'll get another look at the spring. We didn't bring any transfers in at that position. So they're going with what they got. And that's the D-line evaluation. We know the three, Brandt and Pierce, look good as four and five.
Yeah. And Cameron Brandt is, I have heard his name pop up a few times now this spring, and Trey Pierce or Roderick Pierce. I think he goes by Trey. Roderick Pierce III. You can see why they call him Trey. Last year, at some point, Harbaugh was asked about depth at the defensive tackle, and he said both of the young guys are he liked. I mean, I know that you got to watch it when you hear but he was saying nice things about it. And sometimes he says nice things and it's true. Like when he said that Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant were, gifts from the football gods. I mean, he was just blown away. What he said there turned out to be true. So it doesn't mean everything, but it's nice to hear at least things being said in a positive manner.
You know, Danny, let me take a second because this is really important, and I don't have it here. But Sharon knocked it out of the park with Esposito, because you know I'm watching these young D linemen. They got a GA analyst coaching them, whatever. But you got Esposito coming in there. I know people that work with Esposito. I know people, you know, I remember going to a Western Michigan game maybe 7-8 years ago. I'm like, who is this dude on the sideline? You know, motivating these dudes, coaching them up. It was Esposito. So, and he was the head coach at Davenport. I remember as a high school coach, you know, he was getting that program. Anyway, I think Sharon hired a real good coach because we've been great. Sean Nua, Mike Elston. Listen, man, our defense is – I'm a little biased on why we've had these success, but our defensive technique up front has been superior, and that's a reflection of the coach. When you got guys playing with great technique, that's coaching, okay? And we've done a great job there with these last two coaches. So Esposito, I have real good faith. He's going to get that done. You know, working with the OG, we're going to play with great technique in there. And, you know, how do you beat Alabama with 3- and 4-star kids when they got 4- or 5-star offensive linemen and stuff them? That's playing with great technique. So I'm happy about Esposito. He's a fired-up guy. He can recruit. He can relate. People I talked to said he's just a guy that was he's a tough guy though, man. You don't want tough coaching. You don't want to deal with him. So he ain't soft.
Scar, you said you're biased. Now, biased because you're a former Michigan player, biased because you're a former Michigan defensive player, biased because 3 years ago you said that McDonald is going to be the key to this whole thing. Biased because after that, you said the biggest thing is going to be that it's going to be Minter who's going to be the real key. Biased because you just talked about the technique and some of these guys.
Well, defense, Danny. My belief is the importance of defense, man. Defense.
I was wondering, but you're running spots where you could be biased.
So Harbaugh, they wanted to hang him. They wanted to hang him and throw him out of town until he got the defense right. So you got to get your defense right.
Yeah.
And I know that as a coach, and I was pounded on that as a player. You know, MMD, man, Michigan means defense. So I'm fired up for Esposito. And secondary, if I had to guess, it's going to be Johnson and McBurrow at corner and Page and Q at safeties. No real surprise here. McBurrow's a tough kid, but there's so much depth there too. We've recruited well. Hill getting a lot of reps. Hillman getting a lot of reps. Barry, you know, he's they're working with him, you know, and
Zeke Barry, yeah.
You know, so what else? Like that. Side, you know, I talk about, I watch these kids doing their, you know, we just recruited really well there. There's a lot of, we're going to see who's going to come out, who's going to be, you know, who are going to be the third and fourth safeties, who's going to be the third and fourth corners. And you got to believe Hill is probably right there with being the third corner. Who's going to be that Sanistrel guy? So there's some people competing for that. I talked about Odin. I watched a young freshman. You know, he's I could see where he was highly recruited. I think I said I talked to his dad's a really a great coach at Harper Woods.
Yeah.
I never met him. I shook his hand and talked to him. My brother knows him, and he's done a great job everywhere he's been. Michigan grad. So his kids, watch out for Odin.
Jacob Odin.
So anyway, McBurrow and Johnson will probably be in Q and Page. You know, again, I talked about seeing more there the day I was there. You know, leading drills, looking like a leader. And then 2 days later, he had the knee problem. So, but, you know, I, again, wrapping up the defense, Denny, I talked about Wink. Wink is a walk around guy. He delegates, he lets guys coach, you know, and that's a real compliment. I'd want to work for that. If I'm a position coach, I don't want the guy talking to my players, you know. Let me coach my guys. And if you see something, you can catch me after practice that you think I need to emphasize or do better or do differently. But it's just like we all work for people, Danny. It's called micromanaging, right? We all work in whatever the heck kind of job we got. We don't want to be micromanaged. So Wink is a walk around guy. He lets the different groups coach. You know, I was thoroughly impressed watching all of them.
Let me throw a couple things at you. Makari Page, I was down there last week, and he was asked about who could be the candidates to play Agent Zero, Mike Sainristil's spot, and he mentioned Cody Jones. He also mentioned Jaden McBurrows. Last year, when you started seeing the depth come in at corner, DJ Waller played a corner. Yeah,
another guy I had on my list. He's a tall kid.
He's 6'3", and because he's Youngstown, Jerry Diorio, who joins us on Friday, Jerry said he thinks he's going to be in the mix at safety, even he knows that he played at corner. And I said, why is that, Jerry? He said, well, because of his height. Now, do you believe that? I mean, 6'3 corner, a 6'3 corner is okay if you can play and have that technique that you're talking about, but you know,
yeah, also, you want to have at least one guy, Denny, that can match up with the Keon Colemans of the world,
right?
You know, remember we got into that game a couple years ago. That was their game plan. We stuffed everything they did, and then that was their game plan: throw the jump ball up to Keon Coleman, and then we had little guys covering them. So you got to have at least one of them guys on your roster for those teams.
How about all right, Scar? I'm going to throw some questions your way from the people.
You know, let me just say this too. You know, you have to adjust as a player. You know, I watched Klingsdale coach. He's a fired up, in your face, loud guy. You know, highly emotional. And then I watched the other guy. You know, different, totally different demeanor. You know, the kid's got to adjust. Different. I can't think of his name, the new secondary coach.
Lamar Morgan.
Yeah, you know, just different, smart, articulate, you know, a little different approach to coaching. Players got to adjust, you know, and that's it, man.
Anything else about, you know, you mentioned line coach, but Brian Jean-Marie as a linebacker coach. Of course, you have all those analysts running around.
He's teaching the little things. I like watching these guys teach the little things, teach technique, emphasizing technique. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Demanding communication. That was emphasized. You saw that. You know, you got to communicate. You got to play defense. They're motioning and shifting, and you know, they're trying to screw you up. You got to have guys that can. In fact, I think Wink or one of the guys said they want more communication from Barham. They want him to try to get a little louder. I read that. But you have to be able to communicate, and you got to have guys that can do it. So anyway, I saw that, and I saw him talking about that with his kit, with his guys, you know, the importance of that.
So each of the last 3 years, you've been bullish on the Michigan defense, and they have rung the bell. You have already mentioned that you, when it comes to fall off or – no, because a lot of different coaches, but personnel wise, that you know, that you feel like this defense could be as good as any of the past three, and last year's led the nation in points per game in defense. So that's a pretty big goal, pretty big bar to have. But you feel like they can be as good as last year.
Yeah, Danny, my initial observation, I see a ton of talented depth at linebacker. I see a lot of good looking edge guys that I think can work. You know, work in. I want to see more at the D line. I want to see more depth at D line. You got to have depth. You get into 12 games, you know, that's, you got to have depth. You're going to lose guys banged up. So maybe there's some guys I missed. I want to see some other three or four names show up that really playing great technique and look good in the spring game. Otherwise, you know, maybe there is a Mason Graham that'll be jumping in as a freshman. You know, and I said there's a lot of good-looking corner or a lot of good-looking secondary guys. You know, we'll break down the spring game and look at the film and get a better look. But on the hoof, we got 11 guys we can throw out there that are going to be good enough to beat Texas. The question is, let's get 22. You know, that's what I want to see on defense. I want 24 or 5 guys that can start and we can beat Texas with.
That sounds.
Any more news on Tuttle? Has Sean Moore released any more information about Tuttle?
No.
Okay, so we don't know.
I don't know if he's back practicing or not.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, hey, Ferris, we got Esposito is a former D coordinator. Our defensive back coach is a former D coordinator. So you know, those are guys that understand what it is to lead, and. That's why you get guys coming to Michigan. You know, you put – obviously it's Michigan, but I think people want to work with Wink Martindale because what's everybody hiring? They're all hiring Baltimore Ravens guys, right, Danny? They want that that tree, that John Harbaugh. Well, who's the OG? The OG is now coaching our defense. So, believe me, you got – so Esposito, you know, he was begging for that job. I mean, he was the D coordinator at Memphis. We offer him a D-line job, but guess what? Now he's got, you know, he's got Michigan, D-line, working with the OG. People are going to want him, man.
Yeah, he's got some good material to work.
Wink is not, no. Hey, Sean, Wink is not Don Brown. No, that ain't going to happen. Our foundation is going to be stopping the run with our basic structure we've been doing the last 3 years. I ain't buying none of that, Don Brown. None of that. There ain't nothing even close to it. We're going to stop the run. You got to understand Wink's background. We're going to stop the run, and we're going to play great technique up front. None of all that craziness.
Yeah, more. If you got questions, put them in. Ferris asking about the shopping list for transfers by position. Scar has already indicated, if you have watched some of these shows, that he doesn't think it's going to be a big transfer year. I go back to when the transfer portal was open, Michigan was going after some defensive backs. So, and since then, they have not only lost Rod Moore, but they lost Keon Sapp. So I would think that safety could be a spot and also a corner, you know, so some defensive backs. I think that they could be looking definitely in the transfer portal. If you want to say that's one and or two, put me down for that. A tall wide receiver, a bigger target there. Put me down for that if we're going over on the offensive side. Potentially, we don't know how it's working with quarterback. I think that would be on the radar, obviously, as well. Those would be my top four as we sit here right now. But, you know, that's where I'm at.
Defensively, if these guys show great the coaches have great confidence, and you know, in 30 guys that we'll have next fall, then you probably won't see it. They're going to go with those guys. We got 30 guys that can play defense. Then let's go. We don't need it this year. Because all that stuff helps your high school recruiting.
Yeah, we've got some more feedback here. So we've got somebody talking about it's Rashad talking about a taller defensive back from the Eagles from Notre Dame who used to go up against Michael Irvin and Herman Moore. And said that DJ Waller being at corner is fine as long as he's flexible. Talking about,
oh yeah, he's a good athlete.
DJ corner.
I mean, I looked at him. He looks really athletic. He's not going to get recruited if he's a stiff. So, you got to have guys for those teams, man.
Yeah, I think that's the key. And you know, you think because of the technique at corner and the ability to turn and run and everything that you have to have the good hips at corner. Yeah. And so you normally do have guys, I don't know, 5'11", 6 feet tall. But you know, you can have some taller corners.
You know, Danny, getting back to Esposito too, you know, he's got some guys that weren't highly recruited that end up leaving Western to go. One kid went to Florida State. He's going to get drafted. You know, Esposito found that kid, recruited that kid, developed him. So, you know, he's used to getting, average players and making them good, and he's done it. And, I don't want to beat up the Scruggs thing, but just, God, how – you think about it, man. It's just a terrible decision. Guy had the world by the cojones, and anyway, sometimes that's how you get your opportunity. Now Esposito has an opportunity, so – yeah, a lot of good – I talked about our long snappers are back. I didn't get a look at the punters and kickers. We'll look at that in the spring game. But, right around the corner, spring game's like, what, 3 weeks then?
It will be actually 2 weeks. We're 2.5 weeks away. So it's on the 20th. I've been counting down the days, probably like a lot of people. You know, Tommy Doman showed that he can be one of the best punters in the country. So I would feel pretty good about that. Michigan brought in two transfer kickers last year, James Turner, and then they brought in a kid from Mississippi State, Hudson Hollenbach. He will be in the mix. The freshman, Adam Samaha, will also be in there. And they also brought in preferred walk-on in Cordell Jones, McNally. All those guys are on the spring roster. So I would think out of those three guys, you're – hopefully one of them just jumps up and sees the job. I was looking for some kind of a nice way to gets his kicks in, starts just nailing the kicks, and it'll be pretty obvious.
Yeah, you know, we take for granted, you know, we had Mooney and Turner. I mean, we hit the jackpot with kickers these last couple of years. So hopefully we'll have that same kind of deal.
Yeah, well, this is the part where you think about the transfer portal. And we talked about it before. It looked like the offensive line was set last year, and Harbaugh brought in, you know, three offensive linemen in the transfer portal. It wasn't like he was sitting around. He couldn't have been just sitting around thinking, oh, we'll be great at place kicker with Turner, because he brought another place kicker in to compete with him. So he was bringing in all kinds of guys to compete. And you know, if there's a spot where you feel like you can get a guy and you can bring him in, then you do it. So –
you know, Danny, I'm just thinking about Crippen, because we talked about, you know, he reminds me of a little bit of – he's a bigger, thicker kid, a little bit of Ulu, but he can move pretty good. He's athletic, and, you know, I just saw some meanness. I saw some toughness. I saw him getting into it with a guy, you know, blocking after the whistle and smacking. You know, that stuff is – it just shows a little bit of toughness.
As long as you don't get a flag. That's right.
Danny, I wanted to comment real quick on Jim Harbaugh talked about the offensive line, why it's so important. It's the most important group because, you know, your defense wants. I listen to all the things he said. I totally understand him because I know as a former defensive player, nothing better than to have your offense go on a 12, 15-play drive, finishing a touchdown, especially on hot days, hot games. You're wearing out their defense, and you're drinking cold water. I get all that. That's good. You know the thing that Jim didn't mention, though, that I thought he would mention? Why you want a tough offensive line? Because a tough offensive line is going to make your defensive line tough.
Oh, you
can make the same argument for a tough defensive line, but yeah, you have a tough offensive line, and you're going to develop that front seven of that defense now because they got to go against those guys. So, Jim, you left that thing out, okay? And Danny, I got to mention a guy that is a guy that is a Michigan guy. He was a golfer there, Steve Gagliss, a friend of mine. Listen, I've mentioned that, you know, Jim Harbaugh was a friend of mine. We played together. You know, there was a group of us, bunch of guys. I could go on and on and on, but Steve Gagliss was in our gang. He was in our group. You know, he's friends with the Harbaughs, friends with, I could mention, with all my buddies. I don't know. I think Jerry may have known him, but he just passed away. I just heard he passed away. He was a former golfer at Michigan, and he went to Pioneer. Good friend of John Harbaugh's. But he just passed. I just was told that, and I used to see him on the sideline at Ravens game. I'm watching the Ravens, and here's my buddy Steve Gagliss. But rest in peace, Gags, a proud Michigan guy, legend. Always knew what was going on with Michigan. Oh, you know, just like many of us, I'm real sad about it.
Well, condolences to you and the family.
Yeah.
On his pass.
I got to mention my boy Steve Gagliss.
Hey, you did it. And rest in peace. All right, Scar, you did a fabulous job running through the defense. Now, you know, I feel like I want to get you back at practice. That's the only chance left. But we got the spring game. We're zeroing in on it. We're excited about that. Great job today.
Danny, you know, you had the Frozen Four on there, right?
I did have the Frozen Four, but didn't mention it. Go ahead. I know you're a hockey
guy. Let me just say this about the Frozen Four. We're fired up watching it. And you know what? Somebody hired that coach. Ward Manuel hired that coach. Okay, and he's doing a good job. That coach has got us in the Frozen Four. So we're cheering for our hockey team. There's some good players there, and they're well coached. So I just want to give Ward a shout out there. He hired the right guy. I want to give Ward a shout out here too, Denny. Scruggs, whatever it is he did, somebody came down and said, we ain't having it. Okay, I don't know if it was Sharon. I don't know if it was Ward. But I want to compliment, and I'm just saying, hey, we ain't playing no more. The big fella ain't playing no more. So that's a shout-out to Ward. I got another thing about the big fella, Big Ward. We just corralled a real good basketball coach. You know, I read the paper just like everybody else. You know, oh, John Beilein did this, that. So what if John Beilein was a big factor in it? You know what that shows as a leader, though? That Ward Manuel was smart enough to say, you know what? I'm going to use John Beilein. We got him right here. He's a legend. He can, if having him assist in this thing, because there's a lot of guys that are, you know, they got that ego, you know, Denny, they don't want to use another guy to help bring that guy in. Cause I want Dusty to just answer to me and I'm the guy. And, you know, no, let's utilize John Beilein. So I guess I'm giving a shout out to Big Ward that there's some good things happening. You're showing some leadership. And, you know, Danny, I got a buddy in sales, great in automotive sales. He says, you know, like some of these guys, they like to go on the boat. So I got to get a boat. All of these guys, they like to go to the ballet. You know, so I got to take them to the ballet, whatever. But he says, hey, if John Beilein is going to get me over the finish line, to get Dusty, you know, that's just a sign of good leadership and understand what we got to do to sell. So there's some good things happening. And the big fellow was getting beat up a while. I'm just pumping him up a little bit.
That's the kind of nature of that position, man. People are beating you up all the time. even in the, even when things are going well, on the field of play. All right, great job, Scar. What are you doing this week?
Oh, just watching hoops this week, man. Got some good. I'm gonna be watching some of them. I mean, you got. They couldn't ask for better Final Four in girls basketball. And we got, you know, good stuff going. But Denny, let me just finish up on football here. Yep. I think at the end of this spring, you're going to see some guys getting in the portal because there's so much competition, especially at the linebacker position. You're going to see some guys jumping in there, maybe some secondary guys. It's not a slap in the face to Michigan. They don't want to, you know, if they can go start at Wake Forest or go start at, Indiana or something, you're going to see it at some of those positions because there's just so much depth there. And, we got some good players, man.
Yeah, well, it reminds me, if this was 10 years ago, I'm not sure that you needed around the clock podcasts like the Maze of Blue Reviews bringing you all the time. But just over the last couple of years, and yeah, Michigan has had some great success on the ultimate success on the football field. So there would be that too. But things have changed so much. Last year, NIL was so great for Michigan, being able to keep their super seniors, their seniors, and bringing guys back. And now it's changed this year. Now with the portal and how things are working there, it is pretty. It takes a constant breakdown. Guys are moving, shuffling in. Not only are you talking about recruiting for the high school players, now you're looking every day. There's different guys in the portal, the evaluation. I mean, it is the business has never been, business is good, but it's never been as fluid and in flux as it is right now in college sports. So,
good point. Yeah, you're Sharon Moore. You look at Michigan. We are evaluating all of our players every day through spring. They're looking at what's in the portal. And they're comparing, can we get that guy? What are we doing there? And Denny, I just another shout out to my boy May, Coach Dusty May. He mentioned Ypsilanti High School. That's where I first started coaching. He mentioned Pioneer High School. That's where I student taught. I know I don't want to get you agitated, but he is not afraid to mention Bobby Knight and the things he learned from Bobby Knight. So when I heard him talking about Bobby Knight, it was music to my ears, and the thing, he ain't backing down. He ain't buying none of the narrative. He don't care. He worked 4 years for him, and I know that that's not the final word, but I liked hearing him talk about it. Ipsy High, Pioneer, Coach Knight, very good.
I'm getting a text in that, it says, hey, this is Mr. Stringer. So go ahead and say hi to him. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's coming on through.
Oh, really?
Rich Stringer? I don't know. Who knows? I just get the text.
Well, hey, I don't know, but he was a legend. That's what you got at Michigan, Denny. You were loaded up, man. Just because a guy couldn't beat out Zinter, doesn't mean that the guy behind him wasn't a great player. Jerry was a great player. He played behind Kurt Becker. As a young guy, that's Michigan history. I got a little beef with the coach, the offensive line coach, Grant
Newsom,
because he talked about, we've set the standard. Okay, let me tell you something, Grant, that standard was set before you were born. Okay, you get somebody's. Before I was born, if you want to go back far enough, Michigan's offensive line standard is not new. Okay, you get some of these old timers. We've been blocking people for a long time. I say that in a nice way to the big fella. That Michigan, just want to make that clear. I'm defending the old offensive line of the past. That Michigan, it ain't new to block guys at Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's. Understandable. You're going in that direction. Well, let me just say this, guy. You're somebody that was such an outstanding high school player that you had your pick of colleges across the country. So you're like the 1% of high school players. I represent the 99%. Like nobody, we weren't going to college, but we loved sports. And I say all of that because when I was in high school, I loved basketball. I wanted to be a basketball. I want to be a professional basketball player. It's just crazy as that sounds. And when I was in high school, if I could have picked five schools, Michigan would have been the ultimate choice. But I would have. I liked North Carolina. I liked Syracuse. But I think the team that would have given Michigan the biggest run for their money was Indiana because of Bob Knight. I liked how he coached. I liked his style. I liked all of that. But over the years, as I've seen it, you know, Bob Knight, what was pretty obvious to me is that he was a bully. And, you know, I don't like bullies. And so, you know, I think Bob Knight deserved a big punch in the face. But that doesn't mean he wasn't a great coach. It just meant that he just didn't know how to treat people. And for that, he deserved a big punch in the face. That's all. Great coach. I would have wanted to play for him if I actually was like Huskar and somebody that, you know, was an excellent high school player. You know, none of that was ever in the consideration for me. But he just deserved at least a little smack across the face for being a big.
You know, I understand tough coaching. I was coached tough, hard.
And there's nothing wrong with being tough. Yeah,
I know. Sometimes my coaches went a little far. Sometimes I went a little too far. You know, I regret times I talked, some things I said, and I know what happens as a coach. So that's why I have a different little spin on it. Mm-hmm. Coach was a little too far that day, but
yeah, that like 10 instances, right?
But what else? You know, again, you know, what else did I have on Ward there? I just, you know, having the wisdom to go get Beeline, man. And then whatever he had to do to change his plans to go down there and get May, you know, we heard about the plane and going to the girls' game. And then, so that's leadership, doing what you got to do. You know, there's an old sales term. You bait the hook to suit the fish. So what did Dusty May needed? He needed Beeline with him. You know what I mean? He didn't need Jim Harbaugh next to him talking to him. He needed Beeline on that plane. And so that was a great leadership decision to get Dusty here. And I heard we're in on a lot of good-looking transfers, and we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you very much, Jim Scarcelli and Al Kaline, and good afternoon. Somebody wanted to hear that, and there
look
it is.
Look out! How about that one, Denny? Look out! George Kell down the third baseline.
Well, George Kell would say we're going to be out in Boston for a three-game set against the Red Sox.
Look out!
There's Cecil, fouls one back. Look out. Yeah, that's right. He would do that. That's
a great all right, Danny, it's all good. We're loaded up, man. Go Blue.
There he is, Jim Scarcelli. Everybody have themselves a great afternoon.